You're listening to the Circularity Capital podcast, where we explore the trends that are enabling the transition to a circular economy. You'll hear from Circularity Capital partners, company executives, and other experts as we investigate how we can leverage capital and insight to support growth and innovation in the circular economy. I'm your host, Jamie Butterworth. In this special four-part Circularity Capital Insight podcast, we're going to explore the opportunities, challenges, and practical implications of building a new circular plastics economy. The podcast will take a perspective from four different viewpoints, drawing from industry experts and practitioners. We're going to be speaking to Gerald Narber, who's program manager of the Ellen MacArthur Foundation's New Plastics Economy Initiative, to understand what's really driving the need for a new plastics economy and how can the circular economy provide a framework for rethinking and redesigning in this regard. Then we're going to talk to David Rakowski, who's Global Circular Economy and Sustainability Co-Lead at PA Consulting, to understand what's driving business interest in the circular economy and what's the role of innovation in this transition and how can this be accelerated. We're then going to take a corporate perspective and talk to Ilko Schmidt, who's Senior Director of Sustainability at Philips, one of the corporate brands who's really driving the transition towards the circular economy at the moment, to understand what's kind of focusing corporate interest in this topic and what are some of the practical challenges faced in the transition. And finally, we're going to take an innovator perspective and talk to Jens Holmgaard, who's the founder and CEO of Shark Solutions, a circularity capital portfolio company, which focuses on taking an existing waste stream and transforming that into a high-performance, high-margin polymer. In this particular episode, we're going to listen to an interview between Ilko Schmidt and I. Let's take a listen. Ilko, thanks very much for joining us on this podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Yeah, really excited to have you on, actually, obviously, with Philips being such a proactive innovator in the space of the circular economy, and also your role really looking at the detail of how to actually implement these circular practices. So I've got a few questions here for you specifically around sort of polymers, plastics, and the circular economy. The first one really is what is driving corporate interest in this idea of a new plastics economy?
I think for us, you know, plastics to companies like Philips is a very, very important material. It just provides a lot of benefits in terms of processing, but also design freedom. And we just would not be able to make the products that we have today without plastics, just from a design perspective. Also, even from an environmental perspective, if we look at the footprint of plastics as such and compare that to sort of alternative solutions, metals, and just look at the energy intensity, actually plastics is quite an interesting material. But at the same time, I think we have to be honest and clear that there are, you know, big problems with the waste management of plastics. You know, the plastics actually doesn't get collected, it doesn't get properly being recycled. And that just puts the whole plastics value chain, you know, at a risk. If we're unable to solve these problems around waste management, recycling, and dealing with the plastics, you know, there's a risk that we will, you know, no longer be able to use that material even. So for us, it's critical that we managed to make the change on plastics, moving into this sort of new plastics economy, you know, only use it where we need to use it. But when we use it, also make sure that it can be recycled and wherever possible, already use recycled materials in our products and our packaging.
And what are some of the practical challenges of actually putting this into practice? So actually moving towards a circular plastics economy, I guess, in terms of things like cost and quality and scalability. As a corporate business trying to do this in reality, what does that look like?
Well, I think first and foremost, it is a different material, right? And a different material, or changing a material in a production line or in a product is always complicated. That's not, you know, specific towards just recycled plastics, but changing to any other polymer type is complicated and requires, you know, quite a big timeline in terms of testing, you know, supplier release and everything associated to that. So, you know, I think one thing is that it's new And there's the perception, you know, that it is waste. I think at Philips, you know, especially in the first couple of years, that took quite a bit of getting used to have for our, you know, our engineers, our designers, our quality crew to understand that actually recycled plastics is a new raw material. You know, it just comes from recycled sources. But beyond that is a material like any other. So I think that's one thing for big companies to you know, a more mindset kind of thing, you know, treat this as a raw material and not as a waste. Beyond that, of course, from a technological perspective, you know, the materials are not 100% the same. You know, a recycled plastics, specifically the more mechanically recycled plastics, often have a trade-off when it comes in down to quality. So for instance, you know, you could have a different impact strength, different visual appearance, different colors. Doesn't necessarily mean that you cannot produce, you know, with such a material, but you got to be well aware of the limitations, and also be well aware of what actually do you require. So what actually are the requirements in the plastic that you need in your product? Most companies, in all honesty, they will know that their virgin material works really well, but they don't actually know what is, you know, the limits of the materials that they can use. So what actually is the impact resistance that they would need? Very often you will see that that is actually much lower than what you need in virgin. So I think maybe to illustrate that with an example, when we looked at our Senseo coffee machines, a very important element there is the heat resistance. So, you know, the plastics cannot deform when we're making a cup of coffee and it gets quite hot. So one of the parts that we changed there was the base plate. So it was really the lower part on which the whole machine is being built. And we had just one sort of heat limit, right? So we say, you know, at 105 degrees, the plastic should not deform in any way. And that is just very, very difficult with recycled plastics. It's on the limits of virgin material, and it's almost impossible to do with recycled plastics. Then, you know, we failed a couple of trial molds and we started to look at that base plate and thought, well, actually, you know, the thing never, ever gets to that level of heatness. It will never, ever get to 105 degrees. So why are we even specifying this? And the reason is that because, you know, we did that always for all virgin parts. You know, we did the measurements and found out that actually, you know, 70 degrees is a much fairer limit for that part. You know, we changed the specifications, we retested and we passed it without any problem. So that is, you know, just a fact. You've got to be really well aware of what does the product and the part actually need to fulfill. And then you'll find that actually you can use quite a bit of recycled plastics.
And what sort of role does cost play in decision making for actually putting these types of new materials into production?
Cost always plays a role, right, in any company. So I think at this moment we see still that we are able to buy the plastics that we need often at a slightly lower cost, right? It's not a big price difference, but a slightly different cost. And that also allows us to invest in all the extra innovation that is required. So to do all these release testers and to actually figure out what are these material values that we need. You know, going forward, we do, of course, see that the more exclusive materials, as we're looking at color freedom, for instance, or even, you know, chemically recyclable materials, they may come at a cost uplift. And that, of course, that needs to be discussed also with the businesses, with the markets. You know, the goal for us is to always stay as close as possible to virgin, right? That's the starting point.
Thank you, Ilko. And Ilko, would you be able to share a bit more about how Philips is innovating in the circular economy? As I alluded to when we started this discussion, I think Philips is well regarded as one of the businesses that started to kind of innovate initially through cradle-to-cradle design and then really be one of the corporate leaders around the whole circular economy movement. But I think it would be really interesting for people listening to learn a bit more about what you're doing to innovate in this space today.
Yeah, thanks. So if we look at, you know, staying a bit with the plastics topic, you know, I think it's what we've learned is that it's very important to you know, define a clear process on how to approach this. So we've learned quite early on that if you, you know, just talk to a supplier, ask them to supply a recycled plastics to you, send it to a factory, do a trial mold, it almost often leads to failure, right? So you're just testing and wasting time, money, and effort. And that's, you know, after a couple of cycles there, we realized that was not the way to go. So what we've done in Philips is that we've actually put in place a small process around recycled plastics and to, you know, first of all, had defined what are these critical requirements, what material do we actually need, so we can actually have a good discussion with the supplier around those, you know, critical quality parameters. then we often ask the suppliers to deliver us these technical data sheets to show that they can actually meet the requirements that that we need for our products. And then we will always test all the materials in the same lab. So even from these technical data sheets, we often see that, you know, values differ between, you know, places where they're measured, times where they're measured. So we will always measure them, you know, in the same lab to ensure consistency across all the different suppliers and different grades, so we can really pick the one that that we need and that will meet everything we do. We've learned that if we follow that process and only move into a trial mold when we have evidence, you know, in the lab that the material actually does what we need, provides us a much, much higher level of success. As I would say, you know, probably 80-90% of the trial molds are successful, where in the past that was really, really much lower. So, you know, my recommendation, I think, is, you know, treat it really as a, you know, a good innovation project, right? Don't do any freewheeling or cutting corners, because you'll pay for that in the long run. It pays off to really do your homework and you know, be very clear on what you need. Test it, and then only start to produce the products that you need.
Thanks, Ilkay. Ilkay, I'd be interested to hear a little bit more about your thoughts on how important collaboration is and some of the work that Philips is doing to support a kind of broader adoption of circular economy practices, both within plastic specifically, but also potentially more broadly.
Yeah, collaboration is critical. I mean, if we start just on the topic of plastics, it really requires a partnership to deliver these new materials into a product. It you know, often requires some tailoring of the materials, and that can only happen if you are really in a collaborative kind of mindset. Recycled plastics is still new; it's complicated. You can often not just buy it off the shelf, and we've learned that, you know, the most successful projects are those where we really manage to set up a collaboration with the supplier. And I think the same can be said for, you know, other kind of circular economy initiatives that we do. I think overall, you know, the new plastics economy initiative, I think, is a great example where, you know, companies at large, both from the producer perspective, right, but also from the plastics industry, can come together and jointly work on moving, you know, towards a more circular economy, and jointly setting the agenda of what has to be done on more an industry level than just on a company level. I think another good example for us, at least, is PACE, right, the platform towards accelerating the circular economy, where you know, we're working together with other companies, research institutes, governments to really drive towards a circular economy. A good example there is the Capital Equipment Coalition. So as Philips, we have pledged to take back all large medical equipment by the end of this year, or put it into a circular solution. And that is just, you know, these kind of challenges are very big. They require a different business model, a different logistics model. And if you all have to, you know, think about that yourself and have to put the solutions in place by yourself and completely start from scratch, it's just super ineffective. You know, very often these more collaborative kind of models where you can share experiences and learn from each other just helps really to accelerate that transition and towards a circular economy. So yeah, you know, I think we can say, yeah, collaboration, you know, a linear economy wouldn't be possible without collaboration with suppliers, but a shift towards a circular economy would just, you know, be blindly impossible without collaboration, just between industry partners, between suppliers, and along the entire value chain.
That's really interesting to hear that with regards to collaboration. So Ilkay, clearly we are producing this podcast in the middle of a global pandemic. Be really interested to hear your thoughts on how the current situation around COVID-19 is impacting kind of plastics and recycled plastic content, and I guess plastics from a circular economy perspective more broadly.
Yeah, well, I think it's clear that the recycled plastics industry is suffering at this moment. We've heard clear cries for help from the plastics industry, from the recycled plastics industry, because they're struggling, you know, to sell the materials that they are producing. I mean, it's difficult for me to answer this on an industry kind of scale, but I can, of course, look at what we at Philips are doing during COVID. And then, you know, it has to be clear, we haven't changed our course, right? We are still committed towards recycled plastics. We are still buying recycled plastics from our suppliers. Of course, we do see, you know, due to COVID, that We've seen some slowdown in production sites, sites being closed, for instance, or production volumes being lowered, and that will have a direct impact, of course, on the supply of recycled plastics as well. But it has to be clear that we are not taking any moves to switch back to virgin material. That's a rumor that you sometimes hear, that companies would be changing back from recycled towards virgin, and that is clearly not the case, right? We are committed to using recycled plastics, today, tomorrow, and also going forward for the coming years.
Thank you, Ilko. And I think that's very consistent with the messaging around the fact that the need to solve global challenges, including the kind of plastics issue, is a long-term secular trend, which, if anything, is likely to get more important rather than less important.
I agree.
And thank you very much for taking part in the podcast. I think that input from a corporate perspective has been really valuable.
Good. Thanks. Happy to be here.
That was Ilko Schmidt of Philips on building the new plastics economy. I'm your host, Jamie Butterworth. As always, you can find more information at circularitycapital.com or get in touch with us at info@circularitycapital.com. For more information on Philips, head to philips.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.